FMF, please. Hello. Okay, they're not here, or they're finding difficulties connecting. Could you trace them, please? Can we go to the next one, which is Barca, please?
Thank you very much, Mr. Chairman. I think that Barca's stance is that we're very supportive of the bill. And the banks collectively are very supportive of the bill. It's needed to continue with the G20 commitments in strengthening banks and the security around banks failing. Certainly the authorities since Twin Peaks have been working quite hard to implement some of the G20 recommendations to restrict trading in certain types of instruments and put in place collateralized structures. So this is part of that, part and parcel of those G20 commitments. Obviously they take time to put in place, and that's why I think it's taken us possibly a little bit longer than other countries, but there has been strong progress on it. What is important from our perspective is that that we can easily and quickly close out financial transactions when we're trading interbank and with other large counterparties to make sure that there isn't a systemic effect in the market and it prevents the bank from failing. So the most important thing is that the bank is able to remain functioning and operational in order to effect payments to counterparties. And that is why banks are treated really on a different basis to companies and other entities. So we are concerned that certainly on some of the points, we are happy generally with the bill. It was just the specific sections that related to how long the stays provisions last for, so how long there can be a moratorium on contracts, because the idea is then to have closeout of transactions on a quick and speedily and orderly basis, and then secondly to ensure that we don't eliminate certain types of transactions from the bill, which I don't think was ever intended. Thanks. I don't know if anyone's got any more questions on specific.
Are you done? Oh, right. Yes. Okay. Any questions, Dennis? Are you quite happy with the response? Anybody else?
Happy. Thank you.
Okay. All right. Then we hand over to is Free Market Foundation here, or are they disappeared?
I'm trying to get them back.
Yeah, but it's also going to be a bit difficult unless they know what the questions we have to respond to them. But fine, get them back. Maybe they want to say something, whatever it is they want to say. Then I hand over to Kusatu.
Thanks, Commissioner. Just the two questions, I think, to Honorable Ryder. We support the provisions which will empower the Reserve Bank. I think the more we strengthen the Reserve Bank's hand, the Financial Sector Conduct Authority, the Treasury, et cetera, the more we'll benefit. And I think, Chair, we've seen, as you kind of alluded earlier, we've seen practical experiences in the past decade why this is critical, from the African Bank to VBS, et cetera. So I think we're quite comfortable with the provisions provided for in the bill. And perhaps we could kind of clarify where needed in the regulations as well. But I think the Reserve Bank has done a lot of thought around this, and the Treasury, I know, has had quite a few engagements. We've also been part of those engagements at NEDLAC over the years. So I think for us, these are well-thought-out provisions. I think we also do want to bear in mind, hindsight is always 2020. When the African Bank collapsed, it moved very fast. When VBS imploded, it moved quite fast. I think even when you looked in Britain, I think, what was it, the Bank of Scotland, or whatever the name was, that time of Gordon Brown, how quickly things move. So I think we do need to give Treasury and the Reserve Bank and the Conduct Authority sufficient space and powers, or not to hinder them, because when these things move, they'll move in a matter of days, and legislation doesn't take days to pass, etc. So I think we're comfortable with the provisions in it, and they make sense to us. Chair, I think just to your point, kind of responding to our call for the ranking of the poor first in the liquidation creditor ranking, I mean, I think for us, it is a moral issue. The amounts that workers and pensioners have in these accounts, often very small amounts of money, But for them, it's everything. For them, it might be what if they saved up over an entire career, a lifespan, and that's all the money they have. Those pensioners of VBS were left with nothing after people looted the small savings. But in the broader scheme of things, the money they have in the banks is tiny compared to the secure creditors who other banks who have lent to these banks, etc. But they can't afford the knock, whereas the banks who've bought shares, a Standard Bank or whoever it might be under the sun, they've got enough pockets to withstand. And for them, it might be a small bump in the road. But for these workers and pensioners, it could be the end of their life. Some might even commit suicide because the devastation is so drastic. We do appreciate that the insurance scheme will assist in some regard, and that I think there's commitments from Treasury that the insurance scheme would be agile and move quickly to dispense money. So that is a positive step. But the insurance wouldn't cover everything. There would still be some uncovered amounts, like any other insurance cover won't always cover you fully. But I think the other point, Chair, is that workers at these banks themselves, like those workers at VBS or African Bank, they wouldn't be covered by that insurance because they're not depositing their salaries. The salaries, pensions are paid for by these banks. And so when these banks are liquidated, they are left with nothing. They won't be covered by the insurance. That's why we're saying they also need to be first in the queue, because this is literally the end of their careers, the end of their lives as they know it. If they're going to wait for 6 months, for 2 years for the assets to be liquidated and to be third in the queue, they might receive very, very little at the end of the day. And the 2 years delay will be devastating to them. So I think for us, Chair, it's a simple, and there is space in the bill to simply say that workers of the banks, ordinary depositors, you know, consumers, workers, you can prioritize the based upon income levels, et cetera, pensioners. They should be very, it should be made very simple and clear. They're first in the queue. I don't think it should cause any international treaty obligation difficulties, et cetera. But I think for us, it's best to do it now. If we wait for another bill in 5 years' time, some of us might not be around. Comrade Momo might have been retired by that stage. So really now is the opportune time to do it, Comrade Chair. But thanks very much.
Okay, the Free Market Foundation's back. Sorry you got disconnected. Did you hear the comments in response to your submission? Or didn't you? Hello? And Nkululeko, is he disconnected again?
No, he's here. Gary?
Gary's from Barca.
No, Gary Moore from Free Market, sorry. Chair, I think the problem is with the network or so from his side.
Yeah, look, in fairness to him, he can give us a written submission in response to, you can catch, isn't this thing on Parliament's channel or YouTube or something? And Kuleko, are all committee meetings cast on our internal YouTube system?
Yes, Chairperson.
All right, well, you can alert him to how he can link to it, and then he can reply and write it. It's not his fault.
Okay.
Right.
He's not talking to me, Mr. Chairman.
Are you from the Free Market Foundation?
Yes.
Yes, that's
yeah.
The guarantee.
Yeah, well, that's what I was asking.
I can. I'm here now. I can talk to you if you need me.
No, you haven't any right to respond. There were some comments made about your submission. Did you hear them or didn't you?
No, I didn't.
Well, basically, if I recall correctly, I don't remember what I said, but slowly something basically like this, right? I tried to explain that I think at heart, there are differences of approach between yourselves and the majority in this committee, right? And we feel that it's a policy difference, and we come across it repeatedly. You've appeared before our committees and other committees have served in for years now. And obviously, we value your opinion. You have every right to be here and express your opinion as freely as you want opinions. But, you know, you seem to be based on the premise that, you know, the Reserve Bank and other sort of state institutions relating to regulations are top-heavy and too intrusive and so on. And we're saying basically that, look, obviously, now more than ever, we need the private sector. There's no intention to alienate it. you know, given COVID and the July unrest and given where the country is. So I don't think, especially if you look at where Treasury overall is, and it's a preoccupation more perhaps than some of the other departments of government to keep the private sector on board, that they themselves, as you know, are doing this thing or piloting this legislation through Parliament is in itself like giving some credibility to it with the private sector because of the, you know, considerable sensitivity to ensuring partnerships with the private sector and your full participation in growing the economy. So, you know, I think, you know, what we're going to say, that given the 2008 crisis, given what's happened with VBS, African Bank, and so on, given the disproportionate effect these crises have had on poorer strata in all societies, not just our own, the majority in this committee feel, yes, we need more intrusive legislation because the private sector hasn't behaved, the banks haven't behaved since 2008, and even before that, they brought that crisis upon all of us. And then they expected, not least in the US, to be rescued by the state. So all we're saying is, while we may disagree with you, or we do disagree with you overall, there are very specific suggestions you've made. And some of them seem like on the surface very clear to us that they're really worthy of consideration. Now, we'll hear what National Treasury has to say in reply to that. But yes, then we will apply our own independent, we will also apply our own independent mind over the next 2 weeks and more. And we've said repeatedly, I think, that we will not process this bill until we fully understand all the issues. Some of them are very technically complex for us non-financial experts. We're not apologizing for that, but, you know, we are politicians, but we can't just process something. We've got staff who can help us. But some of the things you say clearly on the surface require serious consideration. So having said that, is there anything you want to say in reply? I regret that you weren't here and you were disconnected, but here you are now, and that's basically, I think, what was said. Anybody wants to add anything first, colleagues, just before you come in, Gary? Anybody else to add? Mr. Moore? Okay, go ahead. Nobody wants to say anything.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the explanation you're giving here. So on the whole, you disagree with the broad thrust. I suspect it's about you don't agree that with our contention that a lot of these discretionary powers are violating the rule of law. I think that that might be what what it is. But you say that some of the other aspects might deserve serious consideration. I'm also going to listen then to what the Treasury has to say. But I appreciate your time in responding to me. Thank you. I'll listen in. I'll continue. I apologize for dropping out.
No, it's not your fault, my friend. Also, you have a right to reply to them, as do the other two stakeholders. The Treasury will come in now. What we normally do in public hearings is what we do is we get submissions from the public, then we give Treasury a few days to reply, and then we ask you to come on that occasion to reply to them. Then they reply. Then we've heard both sides twice, if you like. Then we get our own researchers to do some background work. And then we look at the bill. We look at the policy issues first.
Yes.
And we're also alerted. Yeah, my friend, you, I think, have been here before. You know it's a 1675 bill, right? You know, too, that we have limited powers in what we can do, right?
Yes.
So, in fact, look, all we can do, and can be a powerful authority or power, you know, is go to our house, that's the NCOP plenary, in a report and say, the following clauses should be amended in this particular way. We can't actually amend the bill itself because it's a section 75. It doesn't affect the powers and functions of provinces, right? So we then engage with the ANC chairperson and whip on that side and try to persuade them. And often when we make change, they see the open side. Mostly they agree with us, actually. And we engage with them and say, hey, guys, you didn't think about this and so on. So, you know, it's not ruled out, but it's just that, you know, we keep urging people to try to settle the policy issues and differences on the 75 bill, on the 76 bill you need on that side because of our limited power. But we also say, this is the way Parliament works, and believe you me, we have quite independent minds here. You know, there's a myth that if you ANC you know, you just succumb. No, you must look at each of the MPs for how they engage themselves over the years.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, my friend, yeah. The one I'm saying basically to you is that you can go to Treasury when they gazette, not go literally, you can engage with Treasury when they gazette a vote. You can engage with the National Assembly and lose out on vote counts, but you can come here and we can still agree with you. We are an independent house. Obviously, we share the same values with the NA committee, but there's no like policy resolution of the National Conference of the ANC on what the definition of a resolution is. So they've got no more power in terms of policy decision making than we do as a structure. So, you know, you keep coming to Parliament and you keep presenting your arguments. We're not saying that you're any less important than COSATU for that matter. Well,
it might be that some of our submissions do get serious consideration.
Yeah. Well, we'll give it. What I'm trying to say is that never mind our ideological and organizational relationships with like COSATU and so on. This is a multi-party democracy, and you have every right to be here.
Thank you.
People can say what they want about the last elections. Finally, it's not relevant. I really think it's wonderful that we had these elections. Never mind the results. But that, you know, there was limited disruption, really, some protests and so on. And it happened under very challenging circumstances, relatively peacefully. So, hey, you know what? Democracy wins out. And you know, again, we can have everybody here from the far right to the far left. That's our strength. Okay. Having said that now.
Thank you, Mr. Chef. I made a question. Is the Treasury or the Reserve Bank going to respond now on the submissions received?
Yeah, Treasury, because the bill is Treasury. They obviously engage with Reserve Bank. But if indeed Nkululeko Reserve Bank officials are here, they're free to speak, as they well know. Right, over to Momo and his team. Who's coming in now, Momo?
Yeah, no. Sorry, morning to all the members. We have quite a big team here, Chair. Because I think, as you pointed out, I think this bill is certainly complex. And, you know, we're not saying we always have all the answers. And I think the submissions have been useful because they do kind of obviously raise issues from different perspectives. And certainly... some of the questions also make us think. And I think, Chair, just to point out, and I think you've stated it, this is quite an essential part of the Twin Peaks architecture. So the whole issue of deposit insurance, for example, is one to try and, as we say, reduce. Like Free Market Foundation says, it doesn't eliminate. So the word reduction is very clear. We're not saying eliminate. We're saying it reduces the possibility. And obviously, you can't completely, in fact, it's not possible to get rid of moral hazard in the system totally. It never is. But it's about getting the balance to be better than what it is currently. Currently, we have an implicit deposit insurance system. We're making this more explicit and to be sort of funded. And essentially, remember that deposit insurance means that we are trying to help depositors to secure their savings. And most people do not have, like we have 100,000 rand limit, you know, it covers, I forget the number, but, you know, it's a huge percentage of the deposit. So it covers those types of savings. Now, that's not to say whatever rule you have, you're always going to have gaps. Someone who's bought a house and had maybe 1 million rand or 500,000 and tomorrow the bank goes bankrupt. You know, there may still be gaps like those, but those we believe can be addressed by the Reserve Bank. This is about continuing to improve the system of protection for depositors. If you take the resolution framework, Chair, the other thing it does is at the moment, we can always use the insolvency mechanism for banks, but we don't, because if you wait for a bank that's in financial trouble and you use insolvency, you'll have long queues at the bank. There'll be bank runs. And that's why it's long been recognized that the insolvency mechanism is, you know, can only be used after you've tried out other mechanisms like curatorship. Like say with VBS, at some point, once the bank was sort of the depositors and so on were dealt with, you can then deal with issues like insolvency for anything that remains, for example. So you know, there's often a sequence, but the regulators have all three tools available: resolution, curatorship, and insolvency. In terms of insolvency, and as you know, Chair, I'm not a lawyer, so I'll be guided by our lawyers, but there's a very long tradition, legal tradition, of how and what the standing of various stakeholders are. So secured creditors generally are first. But remember, the deposit insurance actually means that depositors get paid out almost immediately. They don't have to wait for a legal process. And in a sense, although legally and technically they may not be first, but practically it means that they get paid out very quickly, within days or weeks, with their deposit. So we cover a large portion of the problem. And again, as I say, you can't cover, it's impossible to cover everybody and every category. Now, Chair, depending on what your hierarchy is, those things are what informs the cost of funding to, let's say, a bank. If you change that hierarchy, make no mistake that it will affect the cost of funding, because those secured creditors, if they feel that they aren't first, they're going to put a further premium, or just the cost of getting their funds is going to become more expensive. So it's not like we don't have a choice or it's a constitutional right. In a sense, a lot, I would guess, and I'm on dangerous territory here as I speak, Chair, but it's almost like in a form of contracts. When you go out to the market to go and borrow, people look at the rules, and we can change the rules if we like and the laws, but that will impact on to what extent they would take risk when funding an institution. And one thing is for certain, that the costs then are effectively transferred onto the customers. The institutions don't, will simply transfer the further cost responsibilities onto their products. They become more expensive for all. So, you're dealing with an ecosystem here. And it's not that any one answer is right. The issue is, what's the best balance for these issues? So take the question that Kosatu has raised about wages and salaries. Those are important issues, but I think if we were to start changing the arrangements, you are changing the ecosystem. It does have implications for the cost of funding, I would imagine. And it does require us to go to the Department of Justice, and that's where you can change the hierarchy, because they are in charge of the Insolvency Act. In a sense, we have to take what's given in the Insolvency Act, and to the extent that we make changes, it's, done with the approval of the Department of Justice. I think they've been very clear they don't really want to change the hierarchy, I understand, but let our team come in and correct me if I've got it wrong, because as I said, these are complex issues, and I'm not pretending to understand each and every point, and those points actually require a lot of guidance from your legal advisors who would be able to inform on that. So I think, Chair, we've got a pretty, you know, we can respond just from the written submissions. I mean, we've applied our minds to all the issues raised. And, you know, we will provide a formal response document. But just for our own purposes, I mean, we can respond today already to, I think, what was put in writing. There are some new points or new emphasis that have come through as people have presented. And I want to make the point, Chair, I think, and you've touched on the process. Some submissions have been raised or points have been raised in the Assembly, and they've been dealt with there. And of course, there might be an element of foreign shopping that people then present the same points they've raised there to this committee. And as you've outlined, that, you know, there's nothing legally that can stop that. And the committee still has to apply its mind, and it might come to a different decision than the one made by the National Assembly Committee. But what we can do is to point out these arguments have been raised and why in the discussion there and what the department's view was. And you know, we've got the regulators here with us as well, and why we might have supported or opposed whatever proposal that came. I think other submissions, therefore, are, if they're not the same point and they were raised, you know, it may be that people want to raise new points. But I think with BASA, we've looked at the points that they've raised, and we don't really accept their story. And sure, we continue to engage with people, but again, we'll deal with their issues. And then some of the submissions are new, and I'm not sure why some of them were not also raised in the Assembly. I think, for example, EFSIP didn't present, and they are a player in the financial sector. They didn't present at the Assembly, and neither did the Free Market Foundation. So, but nevertheless, I think, you know, we treat all the submissions, whether it's been raised or not, equally, and try and respond point by point. I'm going to ask the team just to come in, and because we have listed a lot of the key issues, and we'll deal with the key issues, as many as you would like, in this discussion. And then we'll formalize it with a document that will show what our response is. Fikile, I don't know if you want to just lead on that. Or I know you've got Janine and Lange with you, and you've got colleagues from the Reserve Bank. I'm not sure if there's anyone from FISCA to go through these points.
Thanks, Mama. I hope I'm audible. I
will just put your camera on as well, so people can see you're not a robot. Members of the public can see you're a real human being. Okay.
Thanks. Thanks
for the droid sharing there. Sorry, I'm just teasing.
Thanks, Mama. I don't have much to add. I think you've described the principles very well, and I'll just pass on to the Reserve Bank and the Corporation for Public Deposits, CODI, to provide more specific detail on how the coverage works. Suffice to say, Momo, just to add a little bit more detail to what you said, that 98% of total deposits in the banking sector will be covered. And that clearly covers some of the key constituents that the presentation from Kosatu was trying to highlight. The elevation of the creditor hierarchy that was described is in essence taken care of by, as you highlighted, Mohamed, the fact that the deposit insurance scheme will enable the quick payment of balances to the certainly the most vulnerable members of our society, but close to all people who have deposits to the 98% level as I've indicated. We think that this outcome is much more favorable than having to wait for an insolvency process, which is long, and will enable people to get their money within days, as you've highlighted. I thought that was the one thing that I may just add. The issues that Barca raised, as you highlight at the moment, there's sort of two broad issues. One relates to stays and termination rights, which will be dealt with not in primary law, but in standards, as Barca themselves have acknowledged in their presentation. On the secondary issue, Momo, you also highlighted that we do have some principal differences with what was presented. I think the key point to remember, Chair, is that the resolution is not the same as insolvency. It aims to do something slightly different. But to provide, I guess, a little bit more detail on that issue, let me ask Jacques Bortes from the Reserve Bank to add a little bit more detail, if that's okay, Chair.
Yes, please.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Thank you, Bukele. Honourable Chair, if I may, I'm going to touch on some of the points that Momo and Bukele already talked to, but also perhaps just in response, address some technical issues relating to some of the comments that you also highlighted from the presentations. I think the first one that I'll talk to is the FMF's allegation that the creditor losses or the allocation of losses to creditor are not dealt with in the bill. And just to clarify that the bill sets out that the losses should be allocated in according to the creditor hierarchy and insolvency, and then the bill also includes certain amendments to the insolvency creditor hierarchy. This then has the result that when losses are allocated, they should be in terms of the creditor hierarchy, and therefore clearly sets out how the losses will be allocated, starting off with shareholders and then the rest of the creditor hierarchy. The second point, I think Momo and Bukele already addressed, but it was a question, Chair, that you raised earlier on what are the issues that Barca have engaged with National Treasury and the authorities on. And I think it's just important perhaps for the committee to understand that, there, as Bukele said, there are two different sets of issues. There are the issues that Barca are raising in their current submission, and then there are issues that they raised on behalf of the International Swaps and the Derivatives Association. And it's on those issues by ISTA that we engaged with Barca and ISTA. And the issues that ISTA had, we felt that we could address in subordinate legislation, and ISTA in principle agreed with that. The issues in Barca's current submission, however, we have not yet engaged with Barca, and we neither we nor Treasury had any undertaking that we would address those in legislation and in subordinate legislation. And I think the reason for that is, as Bukele said, that there's different viewpoints. We don't in principle agree with Barca's submission that those transactions should be excluded from the provisions that they've highlighted. In insolvency, the purpose of insolvency is to close down an entity and then to wind up its affairs, which is distinctly different from resolution, where the purpose is to protect financial stability by ensuring the continuation of critical functions. Therefore, resolution will allow the resolution authority to have a strategy whereby the entity continues. Therefore, these transactions can continue in their ordinary course, which is different from insolvency, where if the entity is closed down, these transactions come to a halt, and there needs to be provisions to allow for the closeout of these transactions and then for the collateral to be realized. And it's on that principle basis that there's this agreement with BASA on their submission made, not necessarily on a technical basis. Then I think on the COSATU, the submissions by COSATU have been very valuable. However, I think there is one issue that needs to be dealt with, but Momo and Bukini has already spoken about that, and that's the fact that resolution and the amendments it introduces to the creditor hierarchy should not be seen in isolation, and that both resolution and the deposit insurance scheme should be read together. And from reading COSATU's submissions, my understanding is that their motivation is that they don't want the most vulnerable to have to wait for their deposits. And if you look at the creditor hierarchy in isolation, one might think, or it might seem that there will be a delay of access to because of their ranking in the credit hierarchy. However, if you take into account that, as Momo and Bukile said, that the deposit insurance or the Corporation for Deposit Insurance will pay out their covered deposits within a very short period of time, then that argument almost falls away. And it's also because the Corporation for Deposit Insurance will pay out those depositors that it will then take those depositors' position in the creditor ranking. So the end result, the practical implication of this, is that the ranking of those depositors have no bearing on when they will receive their money. Thank you, Chair. I just wanted to expand on those issues, if there's any additional specific issues that Momo or Bukile want me to talk to, or that the committee wants me to address, I'll be happy to talk to that.
Sorry, I'm battling with it. Yeah. Okay, good. Shall we then hand over, colleagues, as we all do, situation like this, to actually the stakeholders' first reply, then having heard them as well, we can then engage in discussion. But before we do, is anybody else from the Reserve Bank or Treasury want to say anything? Is there a hand up? Nope. All right. Can we start with you, Free Market Foundation? Can you respond to Treasury's responses to you? Mr. Moore?
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah. You heard Treasury, right? Can you respond, please?
Yes, I'm not clear to me which are directed at me, I understand.
I thought that's quite clear, but anyway, all right, go ahead.
I understand what Mr. Bourtis is saying, that that there is a transfer of cost to customers. We're dealing with an ecosystem, and it's best to best balance we're looking for, and we're going to provide a final response document. It's about balance, really, that, and there should be curatorship or resolution before insolvency to avoid bank runs. All very legitimate. Yes, thank you. Fair comment. And I don't have anything to say on that. I just wonder if anything we might have suggested will lead to any amendment of the bill. Mr. Karim?
Yeah, you're done so quickly. They made various points. I thought you were going to respond to them.
Oh, I didn't hear a specific comment about our saying that the definition of resolution is not clear, and whether the FLAC instrument points would lead to any amendments of the bill.
Treasury, you want to respond quickly? Mr. Moore, what we normally do is they send a written text. Normally, we separate the one. So what we can do, if you feel you need more time, is we can ensure, well, we do, in Nkululeko, once we get the written text from their written replies to the submissions made today, our secretary will send it to the stakeholders, including yourself. But in the meanwhile, Treasury, to save us time, can you reply quickly? He's put now his specific concerns around these two issues. Can you reply to that quickly, pointedly, please? Surely you don't need to wait for a written text to summon the answers.
Yeah. I must say, I'm happy to wait for the written text.
We're not in that sense that we can give a chance. But you see, we also need, while the issues before us, and we do have the time, to settle things here, because otherwise we're going to raise it when we meet again 2 weeks from now. And we'll have forgotten some of these issues. So, over to Tracy, come on, you can answer this question, please. Simply, plainly.
Chair, at this stage, I mean, I don't think we've been convinced that any amendments yet have to be made, certainly not on the Free Market Foundation submission. I think the issues of improving the language here and there, you know, one can look at it at some point, but I'm not sure that that's the main aim. But when it comes to the FLEC instrument, I'm not sure, you know, I don't think we've really been convinced we need to make any amendments. Does anybody else want to come in just on the FLEC?
On the FLEC, please, on the side of Treasury and Reserve Bank. Why are you unhappy? Just spell out for the committees. Remember, we are not in the National Assembly. We need to know so we can come to our own conclusion. So can you explain why exactly? You say you're not convinced. Why exactly?
Okay. Jeff, you want to come in?
Thank you, Momo. Thank you, Honourable Chair. Perhaps just on the FLAC specific, Chair, for the committee's benefit there, the Reserve Bank has published a discussion paper on FLAC, and that paper is still work in progress, and we are engaging with industry. And on the detailed proposed requirements set out in the discussion paper, we are more than willing to still make amendments to those. Those are only proposed requirements. And some of those were raised in Mr. Moore's submission. So I would suggest that if there's any issues on those, the FLAC papers specifically, that must be addressed through that process. In terms of the proposed amendments to the provisions in the bill, this is the first issues that's been raised on the wording in the bill. And we don't fully agree that this causes a concern, and I think that's why, as Momo said, we don't think that we've been convinced that amendments are required. Thank you, Chair.
All right, thank you, Mr.
Come in, then Mr. Moore, you'll come in after that. Yes.
Yeah, and I think just to point out, you know, we're not saying that legislation doesn't change. In fact, it changes pretty often, and we try on an annual basis to have an omnibus bill as and when new issues may arise. But for now, we don't see the need to change the bill. But as policy develops, like on FLAC or any of the other areas, deposit insurance issues come up, then obviously we look at those, and I think just to make the point to Mr. Matthew Box as well, it doesn't take 5 years, because we certainly have, I think, with financial sector legislation, almost an approach that we do like with the tax bills, where every year you really do need to do some update. We no longer wait 5 years to make one change. We just do an omnibus bill generally and try and do that. We haven't been able to do one this year, just given the shortened period in Parliament, but we'll certainly be doing it next year. So these things develop over time as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Law, are you fine?
Yes.
All right. Move on. Look, and Treasury and Reserve Bank, particularly Treasury, I hope there's not an unconscious or subconscious, let's say, inclination to dismiss what people are saying. Because obviously, if we do make changes, then it goes back to the NA and the bill gets delayed up, but it's fine. But you might, members, want to look at the consistency of by written order, by written notice, and so on. And Frank Jenkins, if he's here, or the team that's from the research and content advisor section, you will also please look at that sort of thing. Right, we can have a fuller discussion. Yeah, I'm just facilitating the exchange. Now, Free Market Foundation, you're done with, as it were. We'll be happy if you stay. But, you know, if you get disconnected, you don't have to get suicidal, because really, I don't think we're going to address any more of your issues right now. Oh, no, we are. Actually, the members might raise questions, so please stay. All right, let's go then to the next one, please. That's Basa.
Thank you. I think, as Tracy alluded to, the first part has taken care of. And Paula, do you want to come in just on the second part, because there's a difference of opinion here?
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Wood, for your analysis. But I honestly think we are, you know, at EDIM on the point, and we are like-minded. The current curatorship powers in the Banks Act allow for netting and set-off of transactions under master agreements, which include repos and securities lending. So that's the current position, and I don't think there's any intention to change that. It's just that the way the current FSLAB bill is drafted, it doesn't give a carve out for securities lending and repo transactions. And we thought the easiest way to remedy that was to then, on that carve out B, just mention that it's not just derivative instruments where we can have netting and set off, against a collateral held by either counterparty, is also included. So securities lending and repos are also included in that analysis. And the definition of master agreement in the Insolvency Act is what is currently in the current curatorship powers under the Banks Act. So in our opinion, should be a simple fix. So unless there's an intention on the part of National Treasury that these need to be excluded from those, excluded from the carve-out or included in the resolution, ordinary resolution powers, then that's different. And then I guess then it is a difference of fundamentals, but I don't think that is the case. Basically, the question is, do you intend to treat securities lending and repurchase agreements differently to derivative transactions in respect of the resolution powers? Because if that is the case, then we would lose our green netting status for those product types.
Okay. Anybody else from your side want to say anything, Basa? No. Okay. Then we go back to Kosatu.
Thanks, Comrade Chair. Yeah, and I think thanks to the colleagues from Treasury. I think their response did help to a large extent. So my understanding, Comrade Chair, is that the insurance would basically cover ordinary workers and depositors, including pensioners, savings 100%. Then I think that does resolve that to a significant extent. And I hear the kind of creative approach to it where it says, you'll be fast-tracked via the deposit insurance fund. So I think that does assist. And I think, Chair, it is also helpful that the response by Comrade Momo about having an omnibus-type review of the legislation every year, because most legislation, including ones in Treasury, like the COFI bill, public procurement bill, and other departments' bills, yeah, they do take quite a few years to see to fruition. So again, if there's an annual review approach to it, that does help. Chair, I think the kind of one remaining concern then would be around what happens to the actual employees of a bank which is liquidated, because their salaries, their pension funds, etc., would be lost. They wouldn't be covered by the insurance fund approach to individual bank account savings. So I think, Chair, if there's a way of including them as well, that would also be helpful, because you have seen many instances, including VBS, including African Bank, that these workers were in real trouble, and the existing Insolvency Act approach of putting them in a queue 2 years down the road doesn't assist in addressing their concerns. I think for me, that's the kind of remaining gap. The depositors, I think there's a decent response from Treasury, a progressive response. But I think, we are still dealing with employees of the banks themselves who will be found waiting quite a long time. Thanks, Comrade Chair.
All right, just to facilitate clarity. So in other words, you're saying you withdraw your problems with the hierarchy, am I right? Because in effect, it will not mean they'll have to stay forever in the queue. The disadvantaged or lower strata depositors, the unsecured depositors, in the way you understood, right? So as, do I take it that you're fine with that? The issue you're raising now is the employees, right?
Yeah, that's correct.
All right. Well, yeah. Then there we have got some progress and clarity, right? I'm not sure why this couldn't be done at the NA side, but let's not go there. Okay, so now, members, it's up to us now, having heard both sides, as it were, what's our views for now, and then let's mull over these things and then decide, you know, what policy decisions we're going to take through interaction with ourselves and Treasury and everyone else, right? Good. Right. So over then to members. Mr. Ryder? Yep, go ahead. Dennis, are you there?
I am here, Chair. Sorry.
Yeah,
just
yeah, sure. Right, go ahead. Yeah.
Thank you very much. Yeah, so I think that an interesting discussion, and again, on a fairly complex bill and some intricate amendments, I'm not fully convinced by all of Treasury's counter-arguments. And I mean, before we even get there, let's note Mr. Mamoniat's normal complaint about the process and the fact that he doesn't really feel he needs to take the NCRP processes too seriously. I think we should have a recording of that speech.
But anyway, okay.
We should have a recording from that speech from him there, and we can just play it every time there's a bill that comes before us.
Well, so, no, you messed up on yourself. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
It's noted. But I do think that I welcome the submissions and the inputs from people that have brought them to them, whether I agree with them or not. I'm not convinced Treasury has responded sufficiently on some of those more nuanced definition changes, but I did note with Momo's comments that, you know, we're not going to wait 5 years necessarily to adapt and amend, and there will be a more proactive response to that sort of thing going forward. And I think this is particularly important with the changing space that we find ourselves in, certainly in derivative trading and derivative transactions, etc., that we're seeing, you know, flourishing all over with these weird, online offerings that are coming to the fore. So I do think it's something we need to keep our fingers certainly on the pulse, and certainly, Chair, I think to take today's inputs from both sides, investigate them a little bit more. And when we come back, we will continue the discussion and possibly even the debate. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Okay, very quickly, is there anybody else who wants to say anything? Finally, you need to move up from 4 votes. Don't you want to say something for your constituency?
You're very outspoken for someone that's part of a party that is getting smaller and smaller.
I've run it upon myself, okay? You know, I told you I took the medication you gave me, but it's fading out now. I behaved very well for the last hour. Okay, all right. Anything else anybody wants to say? Funny, I have to retort, right? Excuse me, 44%, firstly, to another party is higher than 22%. Or 46%, rather, higher than 22% and about 6% or 8%. But fine, I got an E in maths and science. What do I know? Okay, over then to Treasury. Most of the questions I have, for what they were, are directed to you. So firstly, I'm pleased, actually, that the gap's been narrowed between COSATU and I think most in this committee and yourselves on the unsecured depositors, right? On the employees, can you answer on that one? I think COSATU is sliding that in now. It's moving the goalpost slightly, but so what? That's what people do, and that's their right. Now, Momo, can we just now dispense with this forum shopping idea, right? I mean, it's really like, you know, what brings upon yourself the response you get from Dennis Ryder. But I was also, yes, on my notes here. I really think we'll stop that forum shopping. Firstly, you're not a forum, like, you know, going from one institution to another out there. I don't know, forum shopping, you know. Here, we're a House of Parliament, and this is civil society, and they have every right to be here. No, you qualified it, I must say, to be fair to you. You said no, but, you know, you were repeating what I said. But let's just drop this term foreign shopping. Secondly, Momo, you know what? The, you know, colleagues, to be as we get older and slightly less, let's say, feisty, if that's the word. And I can tell you that my woman you have to deal with now, and this moment yet, I dealt with the municipal systems bill, which didn't even fall under Treasury, but we're writing a book about that. Momo and Me is what it's called. And the municipal systems bill, Momo and I. That's the book that's coming out. So anyway, but Momo, can we just stop the term foreign shopping? It's like, I don't think you mean it like that, but it can be seen, and it is, as dismissive, especially of civil society and also of NCOP members, right? So that term is banned for your use in this context. You can use it in other contexts, but in terms of now banning it. Can you note the resolution that the House has taken, not the House, the committee, in Kulaleko, and send it to Mr. Momonyard, PGG Esquire, to let him know, and his PA in particular, who can manage it. Okay, then over to, but Momo, I also know what you're saying. And there's an element of truth in what you're saying, but that's how it is. The Constitution says it, and we have to abide by that, including you and everybody. Then the fact that this has been discussed in the NAB, I repeat, is neither here nor there. We have to take that into account, but it doesn't determine ultimately. What determines is our approach and the parameters with which we operate, but we're free, as the Constitution allows, for us to make whatever changes we want. I find it difficult to believe that National Treasury can just dismiss even little things like the consistent use of terms that FMF pointed to, and I think we will decide on that. And can I alert the team that helps us, Esther, Pinky, can you look at that? Poppy, sorry, quickly. Can you look at that quickly? Can you look at that carefully? And we will decide on that. There's no need for further motivation from either side until you hear what our view is. On Treasury, can you explain why exactly the Department of Justice is opposed to changes to the Insolvency Act? I know it's become like philosophical now because the gap between you, Kosatu, and the majority in this committee is dramatically reduced by your explanation. But why would they be opposed to it? I know what you're saying, Momo. It's the usual story. We saw the same balances, and Treasury was on our side at that time. So this computer is blocking me off, I see. You know, then people would say, well, if you make all these changes, the costs of running a bank will increase and you'll be transferred to the consumer or the depositor and so on. This is always an issue. And you're right, we have to find the balance. But we made many decisions that could have meant and would have meant, and in fact probably did mean, increases to the depositor. But on the whole, it benefited those depositors, particularly those disadvantaged strata there. They may pay slightly more in terms of fees and whatever, but their prospects of losing all their money, which is worse, was reduced or is reduced. But we shall see in the years to come. So I don't know why, you know, I mean, it's one government. It's a majority party that runs the both departments. There are principles, values, policies that... you know, are passed by the majority party, and it always says, I mean, within reasonable circumstances, constraints, that you must benefit the disadvantaged. And we've been through it. We're not going to cover that ground at African Bank and BDS again. So I also think, look, to be fair, on the one hand, civil society is right, and so is the committee, to be suspicious when every time Treasury says, well, this will be dealt with another bill, this will be dealt with another bill. And they're absolutely right, Momo, and this has been starkly clear since 2019. The bills are very slow to come, both from the executive and then from parliament side. So, you know, I think that too we are very now skeptical of. And to the extent it's necessary, we should insert into a bill or into a report and then hold the executive to account if they say they're coming back to us. And 5 years is what I think is a reasonable thing that Kosatu is saying. From my own experience, I think the Kaleri might agree, but I can't speak for her. Yeah. On the flag issue and so on, I really think we need some agreement, FMF, that you will take your issues to Treasury because of, or at the end of the bank, because of the policy issues around this. But we would like a fuller briefing on the black issue when we process the bill, when we meet again one more, so we understand better what this issue entails. Then can I suggest that it's not very clear to what extent, at least to me, at least now, what the differences really are between BASA and Reserve Bank. So look, you can either take up a lot of time in a ponderous, slow process in Parliament. You know the drill, Momo. Or you can meet sometime within the next 2 weeks. I know you bring the MTBS to Parliament, but MTBS. But you know what? You can find a way virtually through virtual means so quick these days to meet and come to us with a joint report. Well, not a joint report. It's not really BASA's purview to bring the report. Sometimes we do ask for a joint report of colleagues, but in this circumstance, can Treasury meet with, can you note this in Kololeko? Because then we don't proceed with parts of the bill that affect BASA's issues or issue until they meet. So the requirement is that you meet and you see where your differences are. If you can't bridge them, tell us exactly what the differences are before we meet again or before we deal with that aspect of the bill again. Yeah. So that's it for now. Over then to somebody seemed to want to raise a hand. Who is this now? Or can't raise a hand? All right, look, if there's some technical problem, okay, but we should allow
it. Janine.
Who's Janine now? Janine, where from?
Edna Giosi, she's our legal expert.
All right, Janine, come in, please. Let Janine come in first.
Thank you very much, Honorable
Sorry,
Chair.
Now, can we just say,
your video,
anybody
Janine.
Can just... Yeah,
I'm trying minutes. To. I'm trying to turn it on. I'm sorry, I'm just having some...
Oh, it's good. Oh, yes, yeah. Of course. We know you. Yes, of course. Hi, Jenny.
Oh, there we go. Okay.
I should have guessed you here.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I just wanted to come in on the...